Hey there, this is Take Courage from Matt Miller, and yes, I'm Matt Miller. Not the one and only, though, for there are likely 4,000 Matt Millers in America. But I'm the only one who wants to encourage you. Yes, that's right. On this podcast, I want to talk about what it means to live with courage in a discouraging world. You know, how do we live with hope in spite of the difficulties we face? What gives us the courage to deal with our challenges? Not simply with a grin and bear it attitude, but instead with a spirit of courage. It's my hope that after we spend this time together, you'll be encouraged. Encouraged to take on hard things, to celebrate great things, and to see that even in the most difficult things, God is with you so that you can take courage. Let's go. So the first question I want to ask you is, do you feel encouraged today? Would you say that you feel encouraged on a daily basis? Do you feel joy on a daily basis? Are you happy in your life right now? You know, we live in a country that is based on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But how many of us, and more specifically, are you experiencing happiness? Well, I don't know about you, but in general, most people that I encounter on a day-to-day basis don't seem to be happy. Maybe it's because the plans that they've made haven't come to fruition. Maybe for you, you had these dreams of where you thought you'd be at this point in your life, and it hasn't come to reality. You know, the reality is we live in a world that's full of challenges, and times are tough for many people. We know that rates of depression, the percentage of people who experience loneliness are on the increase. In fact, they're at all-time highs. Suicide is a significant problem. And so who in our world doesn't need to be encouraged? The founder of Chick-fil-A is a guy named Truett Cathy, and he said, "You know how you can tell if someone needs to be encouraged? They're breathing." Well, if you're listening to this, I'm confident that you're breathing. And if you're breathing, I think you need to be encouraged just like me. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you need some hope. Maybe you are frustrated. What's going on in your life that's causing you frustration and tension? Maybe you're in a relationship and it doesn't seem like it's working. Maybe you're in a job that is a challenge. Well, I'm not an expert on much, but I do know that people need to be encouraged. And that's why I started this podcast, to be an encouragement to you. In a few minutes, I'm going to tell the story of a woman who lost everything but was able to live with courage. It's the story of an amazing family who trusted God in terrible circumstances and yet lived with complete joy at the same time. I encounter people all the time who are broken, who are going through difficulty, and who are just in a really difficult spot. They feel isolated. They feel alone. They feel discouraged. You know, and what we hear all the time is, hey, it will all work out. Things are going to get better. Maybe you've said that. Maybe you've had people say that to you. But is that really true? Are things just automatically going to get better? Maybe, in fact, things are getting worse. Maybe you've gone through a divorce and that has made your life worse. It's painful. It's disorienting. It's difficult. If you have children, you know, raising children is a challenge. They don't always do what you say. Maybe you're experiencing a financial struggle. Hey, the world around, the economy is better, everything's going great, but you're experiencing financial difficulty. You've gotten into too much debt. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're in school or you're thinking about going back to school because just things aren't getting better. How do we know how to handle that? Because the reality is things don't just automatically get better. And what do we do with the reality that the things that promise us happiness just don't deliver? And there's a million different things that promise happiness, right? Things that we think are going to deliver what we really want. You know, once I get this new job, then everything's going to be awesome because I'll be making more money and I'll have more responsibility. I'll have more respect. But the reality is with that job comes new relationships, new stress, new tension. And the money that you make, you spend on a bigger house, and then you got to worry about that. Now I've got this car and it's broken down. You know, maybe I just need to get into a different situation. Maybe I need a new marriage. Maybe I need a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend. We just don't find ourselves being happy. You know, here all along I've been pursuing and thinking that this person was going to deliver love in my life. And now that we're married, this is harder than ever. I don't know about you, but the things that promise life to me normally just don't deliver. And the reality is life isn't easy. And it just keeps getting harder and harder. You know, recently I saw a picture of a bunch of high school graduates and they were celebrating with their caps and gowns on, their hands are in the air, they're just cheering and they're so excited. It's this touching picture and the caption said, "Congratulations, you just finished the easiest part of your life." Well, now don't get me wrong, finishing school and getting a degree is an accomplishment and that's valuable. There's no doubt about it. You do go through stress and there are challenges. But when you look back on that moment in life, you think, man, boy, did I really have it easy. I was living at home. I wasn't paying my own bills. I only had to work a little bit and I had all this fun. You realize that life gets harder. There's more stress. There's more pressure. And that stress and that pressure can make you feel discouraged. It makes you feel boxed in. It makes you feel sometimes even hopeless. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you in this time. Now, before I do so, though, I want to just acknowledge that the reality is that most of us have it better than most people who live around the world. Most of us aren't going through something that's totally tragic or even really difficult. We're not experiencing unjust circumstances. The reality is that there are many people in the world who are experiencing things that are way worse than I'll ever go through. And so we want to acknowledge that up front. We're healthy for the most part. We're free. We are blessed. But the reality is that we're going through hard things. And we're going through something difficult. And the good part about reminding ourselves that there are other people facing really, really discouraging situations is that it gives us some perspective on our own. But the reality is we face challenges. And so I want to give you some encouragement. But I promise what I'm not giving you is some positive self-talk. When I was in college, I sold books door to door, and it was at the same time the best and the worst job I'd ever had. One of the things that we did was we sold books, and you could make a lot of money. And the excitement of selling a big set of books to somebody was awesome because you knew you had made a bunch of money, you knew you had increased your units for the week, and you were getting ready to go back to the sales meeting and tell everybody what a great week you had had. And that was exciting. And there were times in the summer when it felt like everybody was getting them. But of course, it was the craziest job I've ever had because we moved from college to some town that we'd never been to before that no one in our lives had ever heard of. And we went to a sales school for a week and then literally we knocked on doors at 7:59 a.m. in the morning. And I cannot imagine right now if I had a door-to-door book salesman come to my house at 8 o'clock in the morning what I would do. Well, what people would do is sometimes they would say, you know, no thanks, I'm not interested, even though you would press them a little bit. Other people would seem like they were going to say yes for a really long time and at the end say no. And other people would just be like, get off my lawn. I had one guy say to me, scram. And I'm like, what am I, a cat or something? Anyway, so you had to move on. You had to make the best of it. But man, there were some really brutal days. There was this season of the day that I called the doldrums. That was between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. when it was hot. There was nobody home. And it's that idea of the doldrums, you know, that place in the ocean where the wind doesn't really blow and ships that sailed with sails would not be able to move at all. And they'd go really, really slow. That was that part of the day. And it was miserable. And so what we were taught to do was to use positive mental affirmations. Positive mental affirmations are things like saying, hey, this is really great. When even though you knew down deep, it wasn't great. You were going to be working 80 hours that week. But you would say, we would sing songs like, it's a great day to be a bookman. It's a great day, I know. It's a great day to be a bookman everywhere I go. So then you would just run through these things that you would try to talk yourself into, trying to work through and remind yourself that it wasn't really that bad. Even though, you know, for example, I got kicked out of one town by the police because they thought I was doing some kind of criminal activity, which I wasn't. Or I got kicked out of the apartment that I lived in, or the girl that I was dating at the time broke up with me. You know, all these terrible things. And you're just trying out there to say, hey, it's going to be fine. It's going to be great. Well, the reality is that positive mental affirmation, even though you are saying something good to yourself, doesn't mean that you're going to feel happy. In fact, one of the things that they actually said was to force yourself to smile. So no matter what kind of mood you're in, even if your face isn't a smile, you can't feel angry or feel sad if your face is smiling. So I want to encourage you right now, do this. Make yourself smile. You can't be mad when you're making yourself smile. You will feel really weird and awkward though. Anyway, so what I'm talking about in this podcast is to be encouraged, to take courage. How does that happen though? How do we actually become positive people in a negative world? Well, my hope in this time is to be able to start a conversation and to continue a conversation around that idea. How do we live as people of hope in a negative world? How do we live with courage? How do we become encouraged? But by the way, I'm not going to try to tell you what to do with your life. You know, I don't know what you should be doing with your life. My hope is to talk about some things and to get you thinking, to even point you in a new direction, to remind you of the hope that you have and to give you some encouragement. Maybe that's encouragement to walk by faith. Maybe that's encouragement to take a risk, to go for that thing that you think that you were meant to do. Maybe it means to, you know, have a difficult conversation with someone that you care about, but with whom you're not even speaking. Maybe it's to encourage you to apply for that job or to start a new business or to take hold of something that you need to do that you just haven't had the courage to do. But what would it look like if in your life you lived with courage? So why the name Take Courage? What's that all about? Well, in the Bible, the phrase take courage or be of good courage appears in a number of places. It often is spoken to people who are facing great challenges. It's people who are sometimes fighting a great battle. Maybe it's an external battle against a visible enemy, but sometimes it's an internal battle that they're facing. Take courage means to be strengthened, to be girded up. In the Old Testament, there's this word that literally means to show oneself strong. And so that's what it means to live with courage. Now, the opposite of that is to live with cowardice, which is caused by fear. And maybe that's why in the Bible, one of the phrases that's repeated most often by God is, do not be afraid. You think about it, what are you afraid of? Afraid of losing something important? Maybe your life. You know, honestly, most of us aren't in fear of that, but we are afraid of losing our reputation, losing something significant to us, losing the way people see us, losing our courage to try to accomplish something big. Maybe we'll be perceived as a failure. What does fear do in your life to stop you from trying something, from going for it? Are you afraid that people are going to criticize you for what you're doing? Or maybe they should, maybe you should do something else with your time. There's a million reasons to fear. And when we consider all of them, we stop. We don't do what we're supposed to do. But when we're thinking about courage, and that's what I want to do, is to encourage you, is then we move forward. You think about what the word encourage means. It means to invest or to put in or to place in some courage. To encourage is to give people courage. But it's not just saying, hey, you can do it. Because the reality is, there are some things that you can't do. If you came to me and said, you know, Matt, I want to be a player in the NBA. Well, if you were 12 and you were 6 feet tall and you're really athletic, I'd say, hey, you can do it. But if you're 35 and you're old and bald like me, the chances are you're not going to be able to. So you can't always do it. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about remembering who you are and being willing to do what God has designed you to do. To do something great, to live with courage, to live with hope, to live with joy. Don't we all need to be reminded of that right now? I know I do. So today in Take Courage, I want to focus on one aspect of living with courage. What's one idea about living with courage that we need to know in order to live a courageous life? There's one thing I want to focus on today, which I think is one of the most important things, one of the best things that you can have to live with courage in this life. And that is to live in a way that's not determined by the circumstances around you. So you know that in life, things that are bad are going to happen to you. There will be seasons in your life. There will be days in your week. There will be moments in your day when you have to face something challenging. Someone is going to question your commitment. They might call into judgment your decisions. They might even challenge your authority. They might think that you're not up to the task. Someone may call you with bad news. Those are all things that are external to you. And dealing with discouragement is in a way affected by what happens to you. But in the end, and here's the main point for the day, living with courage isn't about what's going on around you, but rather it's about what's happening in you. And that, my friends, is such an important thing to understand, because we're always going to have ups and downs in life. Sometimes the ball bounces right to us. Other times we got to scramble to get on it. Other times it's just out of our reach. But when we understand that courage comes from within and it's not dependent upon your circumstances, it's an amazing, freeing thing. Once you learn that you can live with courage no matter what your situation, whether in sickness or in health, in joy or in sorrow, whatever you are facing, good or bad, then you can really have courage. For me, living with courage comes from my relationship with God. You know, I believe that every person that is on the planet who has ever lived is made in the image of God. And for that reason, they have dignity. And so when I think about the fact that God made me just exactly the way he did, I'm encouraged to be who I am, to do what he's called me to do, to take appropriate risks, and really to live without fear. One of the most amazing characters in the Bible is a guy named Paul. He was once known as Saul, but he was this leader in the church, and his life was totally transformed when he met Jesus. And he went from being a guy who was really angry, a guy who had this great passion, but it was often and always directed in the wrong way. In fact, he was really trying to harm people who wanted to live for God. He wanted people's lives to be hurt. He imprisoned people. He even oversaw the murder of another person. But there's this powerful scene in Acts when Paul encounters the living God, Jesus, and his life is totally transformed. And so he goes on this ministry, on this mission, to be able to share with other people the transforming power of what it means to have a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, because he's been so transformed. And the story of the book of Acts is really mainly the story of his journeys that he goes to different places to tell people about this. Now, there were a lot of people that were really unhappy about what he was doing. And there's this one place where there's an angry mob that literally wants to kill him for speaking about Jesus. And you know, just imagine the tension that you feel. Your life's been transformed. You're sacrificing yourself and you're serving God, and people want to kill you for. You can imagine that he probably felt afraid. He probably felt anxious. So there in this moment, this one evening, Jesus appears to him and he says, "Take courage." He says, "Take courage. You've spoken the truth about me in Jerusalem. Now you will go to Rome." So Paul, in that moment, learns that God is with him. He learned that God is with him and that he's also going to go to the most significant city the world has ever known. So that no matter what happens between that very moment and when he gets to Rome, that God is going to be with him and that God is going to deliver him through anything. And so just imagine that reality. He's been given this promise that God is with him. And so no matter what he faces, an angry mob or a battalion of soldiers or hunger or fear or isolation or discouragement, he knows that God is with him. Well, you know what's awesome to know is that in the Bible, the phrase, "I am with you," appears numerous times, numerous ways, and in numerous places for the people of God. And God tells us that he is with us. And I think that God is with you if you're seeking him. And if you are trusting him, and I don't know about you, but that makes a huge difference for me when I think about how I'm going to live my life with courage, how I'm going to face the difficult things that I'm going to face today and this week and for the rest of my life. It makes a huge difference. It encourages me, and I hope it encourages you. Now, I want to tell you a story of courage, a story of a person who, in my mind, exemplifies and reveals courage in such a profound way. And what's funny is, if you had looked at her life for the first 50 years of her life, there was really nothing important or significant about it. Her name's Corrie ten Boom, and she was the first licensed watchmaker ever in Holland. And she lived with her sisters and her dad in Haarlem, which is a community about 20 miles or so, 20 minutes or so from Amsterdam. Their whole family was in the watch and clock repairing business, and they were really well known in the community. And they were really faithful people. They loved the Lord, and they sought to do right. They cared for their community. Corrie tells in her book called The Hiding Place, she recounts her life growing up and the close relationship that she had with her parents. It talks about the loss of her mother and the loss of her sister, and even the story of how her heart was broken by her one true love. She, one of her brother's friends, they had this beautiful romance where they would take walks through the countryside, and their hearts were being knit together. But Corrie's brother said he'll never marry you because his family wants him to marry a person of means. And it's a heartbreaking point in the story when this man shows up at her door with his new fiance. And then Corrie realizes that the hope that she had had to be married to him, and really to anyone, is over. But because of her faith and because of the wise counsel of her dad, she continues to live and to be faithful. And she has so many ups and downs, and it's an amazing story. But when the story gets really interesting is when Corrie begins to write about the reality that the Nazis invade her country, and they take over. And slowly but surely, their grip on her community begins to tighten. The movement that they have, the freedom that they have to go from place to place and to conduct their business is being restricted. Their business is even being monitored. And they also notice that some of their Jewish neighbors are being detained, and some of them are even disappearing. Over time, they realize that the Jews were being isolated, sent away, and they're not coming back. And her family were faithful Dutch Reformed Christians. And while they were not at risk, all they needed to do was just to keep their head down, and they were going to be fine. No one was going to question their loyalty to God or to their country. But as they began to see what the Nazis were doing, they realized as a family, they couldn't just sit by and see that their neighbors were being taken away. And so what they decided to do is they decided to hide Jews in their home. And what they were able to do is they hid them in their home, and they found different farmhouses and homes in the countryside that would serve as hiding places in order to save these Jews from the Nazis. Because what they didn't realize at the time was that Hitler had a campaign where he wanted to rid Germany and rid Europe of Jews. And so they start just kind of working with people and hiding them and doing this thing, and they realize they need to be a little bit more sophisticated, because the grip of the Nazis in their own community, the Gestapo and the secret police, now are doing raids on homes where Jews are being hidden. So what they decide to do is to create a hiding place, which is up in Corrie's room on the third floor of their home, where if their house was raided, they could leave whatever room they were in, climb up and get into this room that could hide a number of Jews all at one time. And so they would practice drills all the time. They would work together to try to get as fast as they could. They had a little buzzer that was a warning. And one night, a woman comes with a newborn baby, which presents a problem, right? Because older people can climb up and get into this hiding place and not make a sound for hours. But what do they do with the baby? So, you know, the adults, of course, can be quiet, but what if this baby cries? And the story is that there's a pastor who was in the home when this knock came at the door, when the woman came with her child, and the pastor said, "I'm sorry, but I can't take this baby." this amazing story of just grace and mercy that Corey's father takes the baby in his arms and he said, there is no greater honor that could be given to my family than would be to die for this child. Well, they continue with their work to hide Jews, but eventually they're caught and they're sent to jail. And then they're sent to prison. And then they go to the most dreaded concentration camp in Germany called Ravensbrück. And eventually, as they are there together, she's there with her sister, and the conditions are deplorable. They have to be stripped naked and taken showers, and they're observed by the guards. They're given nothing to eat. They have to stand out in the cold and stomp their feet, or they're going to get a frostbite on their legs. They have to work, and they're miserable. The conditions of the barracks in which they live are so bad that they're lice infested, and they sleep on hay. It's awful. But in spite of the deplorable conditions that they experience, Corey lives there with joy. She and her sister, Betsy, live with joy. They live with courage. It's amazing to me, as you read through this account, to hear about the hardship. She was never bitter. It was her faith that helped her not only to survive, but to live with courage, and then even to go back to Germany after she was freed, and even to learn how to forgive. After she went back to the prison after she'd been released and the war was over, she learned that for some reason, on a technicality, she was released, but that the women in her barracks a week after she died had all been executed. Now, obviously, Corey's life is a life of courage, especially in this difficult time. And the reality is that most of us are not going to go through something like this. But here's the reason that I tell the story. The reason I tell the story is that if a person can go through this experience with the trauma and the difficulty and the brutality of these external circumstances and still live with hope and with joy, there's something to that. Where does that kind of courage come? It had to come from within her, because her circumstances were terrible. But what made her such a servant? What made her so courageous that she was even able to rejoice in the midst of such suffering? Well, it was her faith in God. Her whole life, she'd grown up in a family where the Bible was read daily. She herself was a follower of Jesus, and it was her faith in God and her knowledge that Jesus also had suffered, that he had been harmed, that he had been abused, that he had been maligned. It was that knowledge and that understanding that gave her courage. The reality that God was her hiding place, even like the hiding place that she had created in her home. And the name of the book is The Hiding Place. You know, the hiding place was God. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." And what we see here is that the real hiding place is not just some room in the back of our house to get away from the bad people. It's not an escape for us to get away from the problems of our lives. It's not some activity we choose to engage in that helps us to relax or to try to get away from it all, even though there's some benefit to that. The hiding place is God Himself. This means that for Corey and for you, no matter what you're facing, God is the one who can deliver you. It's not about changing your circumstances. It's about trusting that God is with you, that He'll protect you, that He'll guide you, that God will help you live with courage in the situation that you're in right now. If someone can live in such a difficult, tragic situation, then certainly when we think about who we are, we too can live with courage. The reality is we're not facing the same kinds of challenges. But let me encourage you. God created you, and He's using the challenges that you face in this life to increase your dependence upon Him. And as you remember that reality, may you live with courage today. Be encouraged. And my hope is that in this, you'll take courage, that you'll live with hope, that you'll remember that God is good and that He is for you. And the most powerful demonstration of His love is the life, death, and resurrection of His Son. If God's willing to do that, let it give us courage. So my hope is that you've been encouraged today. And if you have been, then would you be willing to consider sharing this word of encouragement with someone else? Just let them know, hey, this is a podcast I listened to, and it was an encouragement to me today. I hope that you are, I hope that you will be, and I hope that you keep listening. Thanks a lot, and be encouraged.